Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. Well, to me, that sounds like martyrdom, or at least death and resurrection. Either way, Jesus' words to us sound too big, too deep, too wide for our little lives. Are we those who will lose our life for the sake of the gospel, so that we save our lives? The traditional Lenten disciplines of giving, fasting, and praying are about losing our lives in order to save them. In their most basic form, giving money to the poor, abstaining from food, and praying to a God we can't quite get our hands on, these are three irrational practices which work against our own human self-interest. Unless Jesus is speaking the truth, the unexpected and absurd truth which gives life, those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save them. As God's people during Lent, we open ourselves to whatever God will do with us. We give. We give to the poor and entrust to the poor the money that we might otherwise be tempted to hoard or worship or at least control, because certainly we know how to rightly order God's wealth. We fast. We fast to create an emptiness, a hunger for things only God can provide. We pray. We pray to God because we are not God. We are not the center of the world or even the center of our own lives. Our cells and bodies orbit around a center of divine love that is God, who holds the universe together and catches it when it falls apart. These Lenten practices of giving, fasting, and praying remind us that God works in unexpected, counterintuitive, seemingly irrational ways at times. And we are called to be early adopters of God's ways with humanity. When Jesus spoke about things like this, losing one's life to save it, his closest friends thought he was nuts. But he wasn't. He was speaking God's truth and living it, even when it meant dying and trusting his disciples with the unfinished business of the gospel. When I think about it that way, it does make Jesus seem a bit crazy. And when Abram heard God's truth spoken directly into his life, he laughed. This wasn't just a baby after months of infertility. This was a crazy, irrational promise of a child to be born to a postmenopausal woman, both parents as good as dead, says the Apostle Paul. Now, none of us wants to stand in the way of God's promises, But remember, there was already a perfectly reasonable alternative approach that God could have taken. Ishmael, who was already born to Abram. But God chose a different, unexpected, quite unnecessary path. Abram and Sarai unexpectedly received new names, and God promises them a son. And centuries later, in a letter to the Roman house churches, Paul explains that by embracing an unexpected new reality, Abram demonstrated the kind of faith that should be common to all who believe in Jesus. So if you haven't already taken up some kind of Lenten discipline, if you haven't chosen one from the children's time this morning, or even if you already have one, this week, let's also pay attention to the unexpected events in our lives and embrace them. Now, we all have expectations. It's only rational to predict and assume and generalize and expect things to fall together or fall apart in a certain way. And for some of us who like routines, it's easy to resist unexpected events, or at least manage them as best we can and then return to our familiar securities. But God's covenants in the First Testament and God's covenant in Jesus Christ, these covenants are established with unlikely people through unexpected events and by seemingly irrational means. There are four big covenants in the Old Testament. This is not a quiz. I'll tell you what they are. The first is the covenant with Noah. Actually, it's a covenant with every living creature, with all flesh. And it's a really unexpected covenant because God promises to withhold the power to destroy life. FYI, gods don't usually place limits on themselves. The second covenant is the one that we read this morning, and it's repeated several times in Genesis to each generation. It's a covenant with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants to make them a family that would be in partnership with God, bless all nations, and receive a secure place to live. And all of us who are descended from this family or have been adopted into it are heirs to this promise. The third big covenant in the First Testament, the Old Testament, is with Moses. Actually, it's with the whole people of Israel. God will be faithful to them as their God, as the people live according to God's Torah, God's law and teaching. A fourth covenant is with David and descendants from a royal family who will reign in Israel as an exemplary nation with a faithful king forever. As you might expect, the covenant partnership breaks down because of human greed, gluttony, and guns. Okay, guns weren't invented yet, but it's kind of a useful alliteration, right? Greed, gluttony, guns. Maybe instead of guns, we should say humans trying to control the world through violence. So at the end of Israel's story in the Old Testament, one begins to wonder whether any of these covenants will hold together at all. Can they be cobbled back together from their broken remains? And then, unexpectedly, Jesus begins to live as the fulfillment of these very covenants. Jesus is a surprise from birth to life to death and resurrection life. Jesus is God's new covenant with us. Instead of greed, gluttony, and guns, he counsels giving, fasting, and prayer, losing one's life in order to save it. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. And the God who loves you has provided some order and routine in your life that probably gives you a sense of being at home, being centered, being secure and peaceful. And this same God who loves you is also providing some unexpected events in your life that also help us discover the meaning of life and the way our lives are connected to the life of Christ, the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. These unexpected events, they might be quiet moments in the midst of fast-paced living. They may be hardships, difficulties that arise. They might be good surprises. They might be satisfaction for something in something that we've longed for. Now, among us, there have been some unexpected events in recent weeks. Last week, the U.S. experienced another mass shooting. As a country, we've actually come to expect these. With few regulations on weapons, even semi-automatic weapons and the bump stocks that make them even more deadly, we expect our national life to be regularly interrupted by devastating mass shootings. What has been unexpected this time around is these young student activists who are calling adults, especially elected leaders, to account for their moral and political failure to make change in U.S. gun laws. In a tired and stuck debate about gun control versus Second Amendment rights, these are unexpected voices of children. Is the God who once hung up the war bow in the sky and refused to destroy life in a covenant of love, is this God addressing the U.S. through our public school children? Are these our sons and daughters who prophesy? Last week, as a congregation, we began grieving together when we learned that Paul Longacre died early Monday morning. Paul was dying. His chronic lymphocytic leukemia was advanced, and he was receiving hospice services at Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community. Even though he expressed to me and to others close to him that he was ready and willing to die years ago, some of us expected that it might still be a long while until his strong heart and large frame would yield this life to the next. His dying on Monday was unexpected. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. What might God be showing us when the unexpected occurs? Has God's covenantal love been active all along? As my husband Kent shared recently, this month my father was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, a fatal disease that will bring challenges and hardships to him and those who love and care for him. We still have a lot to learn about this diagnosis. Some of the challenges are already wearisome, and aspects of his near future trajectory bring stress and anxiety to our family. That my parents are aging was expected. They'll be 73 in the spring. But the diagnosis and new caregiving responsibilities are unexpected. Because of some things that friends here from Community Mennonite who are more familiar with Lewy body have said to me, and because I keep turning to scripture, I'm looking for ways in which God's covenant promises are being fulfilled even through unexpected events. Last Tuesday, author and spiritual director Sharon Clymer Landis, who now attends Shalom Mennonite Congregation, encouraged readers of our online Lent devotional to welcome this moment with all it includes, the wanted and the unwanted. The story of God promising a son to Abraham and Sarah is one of embracing the unexpected. And that's not a bad message. It surely brings some of us comfort to consider embracing rather than resisting the unexpected events of the days ahead. Maybe we will learn and grow from these experiences. But I think a sermon, that is preaching the word, requires a bit more than this counsel to let surprising unexpected events be, embrace them. God's promise to that old couple was to bring a son, a family, a blessing to all nations of the world, a land-based security and sense of home. The promise was contingent on Abram's sacred relationship with God. Paul calls it faith. For Christians, this ancestral story of Abraham and Sarah is kind of like a divine wink. We share a chuckle with God because the promise is a son of our own, a child of human flesh and blood who would be humankind's greatest legacy, a life lived to redefine family, to bless all nations, to create community in harmony with the land and all creation. This son, whom we call Jesus, makes good on the human side of covenant partnership with God. And so it's our privilege to embrace him, to embrace the unexpected Son of God and Son of humanity. And so we give away our money and other false gods in order to share life with Christ. We not only give, we fast. We remain hungry for this Son of peace and justice and forgiveness to replace the violence, injustice, and revenge that plague our society. We give, we fast, and we pray. We pray sometimes with the very words of Jesus, as if our Son is keeping God's promise in us and keeping God's promise to us. I don't know how God will invite us to embrace the unexpected in the days ahead, but if you fall down on your face or bust a gut laughing like Abram, we as the church will be here to wonder with you what it is all about. And if you resist the losses and unexpected suffering like one of Jesus' early disciples, the church will be here with you to struggle together and seek forgiveness. And if somehow you grow strong in faith through the unexpected developments, as the Apostle Paul expected we would, then we will be here as church to hear your good news. Grow strong in faith together and give glory to God.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.